This just in, local man accused of writing impenetrable and obscure code, refuses to comment. Hey, howdy, ho, guys! It's Nerd Roundup. It is another week, another bunch of nerds, another roundup happening. If you've never been to a Nerd Roundup before, you're not missed a damn thing in your life, but we're happy to have you this week. What we do at Nerd Roundup is we demonstrate how to have fun, like kick back and talk about nerdy stuff. I try to bring friends who are willing to drop by. We go over the news of the week, and we make jokes and generally misbehave. I believe a team that can relax and have fun together can do damn near anything together. And the only way I know to show you how to do that is just to do it in front of you. So here we're going to do this. This week we have James Grinning and John Kern. James and John.
How's great. It going, Dan?
It is
Merry Christmas.
I think this will be coming out on Christmas Eve. So this is Santa is already on his way. His resource management system is already kind of working effectively, I guess. I hope. James, have you been good for Christmas? What have you? Are you ready for Santa?
No, I've been in my elf hat just in case my red sweater.
I think maybe he'll like confuse
make up
you with
the things that I didn't do.
Yeah. How about you, John? What have you been up to for the previous week?
Oh, I think it was good. Mm-hmm. I think I helped some teams recognize a few fun things to try in their quest of delivering value. So I think that was good.
Most awesome.
How about you, Daniel? Have you been good?
I found out a while back that you can pretty much fuck up all year and you still get shit. Just don't tell anybody, but that's the way it works. So I mean, it's just us right now and on this thing. If everybody got in, it would be a horrible world we live in. But yeah, I'm expecting pretty good haul this year. This past week, we watched probably 50 of the 4,000 Christmas movies we have that we all have to watch before Christmas. My wife took the time off, and there's this family kerfuffle that happens every year about which movie do we have to watch when. And I mean, there's at least 40, 50. It's just, you know, does A Wonderful Life happen on Christmas Day? Or does it happen before Christmas? The Grinch, of course, has to happen Christmas Eve. That's written in the Bible, I think, somewhere, but the other stuff we fight over quite a bit.
We put Elf on for a while, or yesterday. I had to go out about halfway through, but that was hilarious.
I like Elf. Yeah, I also played around with Advent of Code some. I've decided that I love yak shaving much more than Advent of Code. You guys, are you familiar with the phrase yak shaving?
Yes, I've been to Nepal, and I had to walk around a yak.
I don't know. I don't know if this deals with real reaction. So yak shaving is when you start off to do one thing and you enjoy doing or end up doing 40 other things. Does that happen when you actually shave a real yak?
No.
Oh my God. They've been lying about yaks
did
all these years.
Did you get to shave a yak, John?
Well.
Did you get to shave a yak? Is that what you're saying?
All the 40 other things are still on that yak.
Now, Advent of Code is hootin' fun. I've seen Bob doing every day posting about it. What I decided is I solve a few puzzles, and then I decide, you know, this code really needs cleaning up, and I just enjoy cleaning up the code better than I do going on to the next puzzle. And I've accepted that. I'm okay with that. So you end up writing a bunch of helper functions for two-dimensional arrays in F-sharp instead of going on to the next day. And I'm happy I did that. It's fun stuff.
All right.
That's when you obviously don't have enough business person helping decide what's actually valuable work.
Well, fretted me was last year when I did Advent of Code. I had these same two-dimensional array kind of questions, and I had to write methods. I'm like, dang it, I'm going to write this time, so next year they're not going to get me again, dang it. Next year you're probably going to have nothing on two-dimensional. But I heard that at some point there may be a five-dimensional array problem in Advent of Code. And if that happens, it'll be like the year 2030 before I finish cleaning up all that code. It's going to be a while.
It's recursive.
Yeah. See, that is the temptation. One wants to generalize, doesn't one? And generalization is fun, and cleaning up generalization is even more fun. And then you're not really solving problems, but it's fun. So have you guys had a chance to read any of the articles this week?
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to confess right away.
There we go.
I poked through a few of them.
Are you familiar?
One caught my eye, which was about your vision getting bad as you get older.
Oh, yes. Very good
story. Oh, my gosh. You have to check that out. And then they disqualified people from it if they're over 65.
There's a second medicine on the way for that, actually. They've been working. This has probably been working for a while. Hey, but you do not know anything about sacred chickens. So the first story about sacred chickens or nothing about...
Well, I did look at that a little bit. You know, you can't just gloss over a sacred chicken story.
I was going through Twitter last week and somebody said, consult the sacred chickens. I'm like, the sacred what? And yes, it turns out that chickens were quite special. And they had sacred chickens that they consulted quite a bit in the ancient days. There was a Puritus, a priest of sacred chickens, who carried his chickens around with him, and the chickens told people what to do. So if you're interested in diving deep on that, if you have your own chickens and you would like more guidance in your life, the Romans have been there ahead of you. So that's a weird story.
Chickens are known for their massive brain case size.
Don't you have a chicken there?
It's about the size of a pea.
I have rubber chickens. I have
consult the rubber chickens.
Rubber chickens, yes. That's where you get the bad advice, is the rubber chickens. Yeah, the Romans what occurred to me this whole story was that, you know, we've come millions of years since the dinosaurs, and here we are, little hairy monkeys messing around with, like, dinosaur descendants, asking them what to do. Hey, what do you think? Like, the stock's looking good this year? It's like, the dinosaurs won, my friend. They won. They got movies about them. You keep chickens in their backyards. Did pretty good.
Yep.
John, you sent me this next article, Mammoth Tusks.
Oh, so I did read one then.
Yeah.
Oh, I read that one too. Yep, I read that.
Pretty cool, eh? Pretty cool stuff.
I was actually surprised a little bit about how you can, you know, how they grow. And so be able to determine weird traces of things that they could then track across the Alaska. For lack of anything else. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I knew that they were able to date things, and I also knew that they were able to do like tree rings, but I didn't know they could combine the two to figure out where an animal had traveled. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. They know something about where the elements were up there, I guess, right? The maps were kind of interesting here. Caught my eye on the maps.
Yeah, early life, midlife, and late life. They're able to look and they show where the tusks. They look to see what was going on there. So
pattern is interesting. I was always wondering. I guess I never wondered how mammoth tusks grew, and by that matter, how any kind of tusk grows. But now I know something about it.
Yeah,
and it makes sense.
Well, it's like blade to a tree ring as well. I mean, there's a ring system that you can examine later.
Yeah. But it's not really a ring system though, because it's
conical or something.
The tip is the oldest part.
No, sir. The tip is the youngest part. Hmm? Yep. Yeah. This picture right here. This is the oldest part. Is the very inside here. This little red part here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So. I guess you got to do more than just look at the pictures.
Actually, I just looked at the... Sorry, James. I would have got that wrong, too. I don't know why the little mammoth started living up like northern Alaska as it got older. It seems like you would want to go like to Florida somewhere. Better sun, maybe. But I guess if you're a mammoth...
Global warming.
Yeah, I guess if you're a mammoth, the colder the better.
So...
You didn't look at the pictures. Look at the pictures. Older tusk materials at the end of the tusk.
It says frequently visited regions during final 2 years. It's got the little red in the middle, last picture here. Right here. Yeah. See, it's got the red.
So it's a little bit of a trick of the mind. So the tip is the oldest, but it's when the animal was the youngest.
Okay.
Ooh.
That's true.
Yeah.
But that's not what we were talking about. I mean, that's not what I was talking about anyway.
I'm trying to break the why you both might be saying the same thing, but it's from a two different perspectives.
You're correct. The tip of the tusk is the oldest, coming from the youngest period of the mammoth's life.
Right. Sure.
Yes. Right. It depends on whether you're talking from the. I'm talking about the mammoth. You're talking about looking at the mammoth. It's a different thing.
John, thanks for settling that, because I wouldn't want to think that Daniel was that wrong about something, or me.
Yeah.
And I should have looked for. There's another crazy thing that I remember hearing about where they actually discovered a really intact mammoth, and I think they're either have already or are working on cloning it, which I'm not sure is a really bright idea.
Yes, that's in Siberia. I think that's a big thing. I don't know.
If we have actual. Yeah.
Furry elephant. I don't know. I don't know. I would not fear a furry elephant. I don't think it would be fine with if the elephants were furry or not. And you have temporarily frozen. Are you guys still there? There, James. Here they are.
I'm not.
Okay, your video is a little frozen. John's completely frozen. That's who's gone.
John's gotten a little bit blurry there.
Yeah, he's either he's practicing like parkour or some sort of boarding, or he's just frozen for a bit. Oh, there he is. Hey, Don.
He's back.
Yeah. See, I guess that's what happens when you talk about mammoths.
Well, it's talk about me making a mistake. It's this punishment comes from on high, my friends. So the next article is on super determinism, which I thought was just an awesomely cool word, no matter whether the article's in here or not. You guys familiar with pilot wave theory?
When the pilots go like this?
Hey, how's it going? How's it happening? I'm from Italian. No, pilot wave theory is, they've been having this big argument since Bohr and Einstein and all those guys. Is the universe like full of probability waves, or is there some sort of great watchmaker that everything is deterministic? And Einstein famously said, God does not play dice with the universe. In other words, got to be something we're not figuring out here. It's not just all probability waves. But since then, we've all been trying to figure out what that thing is, and nobody's come up with anything. And so this wonderful lady here reviews Bell's theorem and some other stuff. It's cool. Go ahead.
They think they're missing some variables or something, right? Missing variables. And now if you had these other variables, it would be deterministic.
Well, that's what, yeah. That's what
means, then that would be, I didn't quite finish watching her video, but it was kind of interesting because, determinism goes away then. So free will and everything goes away, and which experiments to run was all determined beforehand.
They wanted, first of all, people wanted a Newtonian sort of logical universe, and they fought about that for a while, and then quantum physics came out, and they just couldn't measure those dang little probability waves. So then they went to, okay, we know nothing. There's life is just randomness. But then people are like, oh, come on, we got to go back to Newton. There's got to be a cause and effect. A implies B. And initially they thought there was hidden variables somewhere inside of these little electrons or whatever that was controlling them. Well, Bell proved using mathematics that could not be the case. And then we've gotten 40 years of people saying, hey, it's all random. What she does is goes back and say, Bell just proved that the variables can't be inside the little electrons. There can still be some massive universe operating system that's doing stuff. It just can't be stuck inside the little things we're looking at. Cool stuff.
Yeah,
I would go with door number one. We don't know as much as we think we do.
Yeah, that's the long and short of it, so we just don't know. All right, this next
one. That's usually a pretty safe position to take.
Well, and yeah. And the thing is if you're a physicist, you're supposed to know everything. And I think it's difficult for some people not to. And I think they've kind of embraced the idea they know nothing, which in an odd way just gets them off from doing any kind of real work, which to me sounds pretty cool if you're on tenure. But otherwise, they got to figure this shit out. Why architecture-oriented programming works. James, I'm betting you this is the one you looked at.
I didn't look at that.
Dang it.
I looked at the other ones.
Okay. You said you had one that you were interested. Oh, that was the eyedrop one.
The eyedropper caught my eye, so to speak.
This guy wrote an essay. He's actually creating objective small talk, which sort of sounds like turbo assembler, which was a thing. This is a good essay.
Would objective small talk be redundant?
Yeah. It's, or you know, I don't know what subjective small talk would be like. That's the real question. It is. It. I don't know what it is. It's a, sort of the quantum equivalent of programming. Like, it's something.
I think it would probably self-comment and then say things like, "Are you sure you want to use that verb?"
Yeah. Hey, you used this collection last week. We're tired of you guys. Come here. Use something else. Use a hashtag. I liked where this guy was going. I liked his intent. I think he just sort of missed the boat here somewhere. God bless him. There's a lot of reasons why it's probably not relevant to us just goofing off, but it's a good essay. He references Why Functional Programming Matters, which is a classic. I've included a link to that PDF here from 1984. The part he gets is we want to keep stuff simple. And that as we compose together programs and objects, interfaces, and all this stuff, we make things simpler. That part he gets, yay him, great job. Part he misses is that composition of pure function is a different thing than creating abstract interfaces, because when you compose pure functions, there's by definition no side effects, and you know exactly what you have. Like, I know what print does, and I know what the integer 4 is. If I go print 4, I know exactly what it is, but once I start self-coding those both of those concepts, I make something that appears to be simple, but yet may be very complex. So he's right that we need to make things simpler. He sort of misses the boat and sort of says everything we do, by definition, makes things simpler. And I don't believe that. I think either he needs to write more information or I missed it somehow.
Solving any problem leads you to new problems, I'm just saying.
It certainly can. And they talk about language-oriented programming now, which is... means creating your own computer language to solve the problem.
It's almost like, what's the different cost of choosing different languages to solve the same problem?
They're talking about that in the third paragraph here. He's talking about Haskell having a rating of 7.5 units of work, and then Smalltalk would get twice as productive with 15.
I see this. Oh, yeah.
Now, back when we were teaching extreme programming immersions back in 2000, I sometimes would teach them in C. We'd sometimes teach them in C++. And we'd sometimes teach them in Java or C#.
Ooh.
And it was interesting how much people could get done. If you take C, the least common denominator, that would be one cow, one C output week. And then if you use C++, you could get two cows. How far you get in the project. And if you used Java, you would get four cows. So each one of those languages, it was easier to get stuff done.
Yeah, so they work as advertised. I'm giving you as much rope as you want, James. You can go out, then I'm going to follow you back. Yeah, you know, if you sit people down to solve problems. If you only have a week-long project, you know, you can go faster with things that do things faster. It's the coming back part that sucks so much, right?
Adopted the cow metric, though. That's
the cow metric. That really is the important point here. Is it cows control more?
It would have a good icon.
It would have a
cow output week. Yeah.
Anybody
cows
remember,
per week.
Yeah, remember Gateway had the cow? Gateway Computing had the cow thing?
Yeah, that's right. The boxes. Yeah.
Maybe it's because we didn't use chickens. Mm-hmm.
Could be the root of many problems we have today. Many, many problems. Lack of chickens.
Yeah, we didn't consult the chickens.
We use a duck metaphor for my blog, and I use it here somewhere. My daughter, her Discord room uses geese. And so when I create a family room, I call it duck, duck, goose. for me, my wife, and my daughter. We get lots of laughs here in the country. It's just, we have only like three jokes. It's, ha, ha, ha.
Do you know any duck thing that starts with the words MR ducks?
Oh, my God. Yes. Don't tell. What don't. Is it? Oh, yeah. I'm not gonna. Let's not go there. MR cows, but MR ducks also is a thing.
MR ducks.
Yeah.
MR not. MR two.
LIB. Yes.
Can you finish it? Okay.
I don't want to tell the story because I was trying to spring this on my daughter just last week with geese, okay. I don't want to spoil the thing.
Let me know how before it ends after you've sprung it.
Well, she told me she'd already heard it. And being almost 60, I don't believe these. I only tell stories the one time. So I'll tell her again, and she'll like it better this time.
Okay.
Have you heard this before? Yes. Okay. I'm going to tell you again. I think, yeah, my father-in-law, and I found this with my mom as well. As they got older, they would sort of had several kind of go-to examples and stories they would use. And I figured out at one point that, of course, they were repeating themselves. But then later on, I realized that they enjoyed repeating themselves because they were looking at my reaction when I realized that I knew they were repeating themselves. And it just entertained them more than the actual story itself. And so I just play along. Oh, you're kidding. Really? MR ducks? And they would... Be nice to older people, friends. So this is a cancer treatment that gives you super night vision. No freaking kidding, guys. And to prove it...
It could be used if you're like a thief in the night.
Oh, yeah.
You can go get this done.
Yeah, you get robbed at night. Look for cancer patients. They're probably the pokes. These dudes actually ran the experiment. The link is in the first article. And they took one of their...
It's not like, a very welcoming photo.
That's... No. Nah, this looks like, this dude, see him in my house at night. He's not coming back out of that thing. He could see up to 50 meters away in total darkness. That's wild. And there's some chemical
I can see light years away in total darkness by looking up at the star.
Boom, boom. There's a good one. Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, there's a, I read something somewhere like how far you can see a single photon, and it's like, you can see technically like a candle, like, I don't know, 2 miles away or something. It's a crazy small amount of stimulus can work on the eye.
That is crazy.
So, yeah, these guys...
And actually, technically correct, you're not seeing it far away. The photon's hitting your eye, so there you go.
Yeah, what would be the difference between seeing it far away and the photon hitting your eye?
Well, I don't know. Now we're into metaphysics, which I'm not very good at.
Well, okay. The point being is they could put somebody in complete darkness and show the light equivalent to a like a candle some far, far away spot, and it would register for this person. This chemical actually multiplies photons somehow or another inside the eyeball, so you're kind of turning a human eye into sort of a night vision goggle. It's crazy. Effective in the treatment of night blindness. That's great. Speaking of metaphysics, can brain organoids be conscious? And I'm going to take the controversial position, yes, they can be. And hell if I know what that means as far as like life in the universe. Basically, the problem is we're making little bits of brain cells to use in experimentation, and they're only, couple hundred, couple thousand, just little small bits of human brains that they've grown separately. And then they're asking, well, gee, are these little pieces of brain actually conscious? And in my opinion, if they're different than a whole brain, I don't know how to judge that. So yes, I think they are conscious, but hell if I know what that means.
There's some whole brains that aren't that conscious.
Well, you know, the weird thing is they do this split thing where your brain is in two halves, and if you have epilepsy, sometimes they actually split it to prevent seizures, and you end up with, like, two different brains. Each, they think, is conscious, but it's, like, two versions of you. Hmm. Yeah, it's some serious college toga discussions on that one. I watched this really cool video from some sort of scientific philosopher dude, and he basically reached the conclusion that consciousness is not something we can actually sort of, it's more emergent of little consciousness than it is something we can say, this is conscious and this isn't. And I don't see any other way around that. I think you can talk about tool using or sentient or intelligent, there's some other things, but as far as just being conscious, it's a very, very vague term. Here's your eyeball story, James.
Here it is. I was disappointed, though. It's not actually trying to make the lens more flexible. It's just making the aperture smaller. So it's kind of, it's not really solving the root problem.
But there is a, I read on Hacker News, oh gosh, within 3 or 4 months ago, that they have been going at this age vision problem for several years, and there's actually another drop in the pipeline that can fix old eyes. So, here's, yeah, here's wishing it comes out.
These trifocals are, I had to give up on those.
Well, I've got
sets of bifocals.
Yeah, I got the two. I got the see far away glasses. I got the reading glasses, and I try not to wear either one of them, but I have to wear the readings anymore.
It all depends on if you want to read.
You know, I went for several years wondering why they kept making print smaller. I'm like, what in the hell's going on? There's, and then I finally realized, wait a minute. This is, I'm doing this thing I saw my dad do. Might not be the print.
Yeah. It's natural.
It is. It's the flexibility of the cornea. Your eyeball stops being so flexible.
These glasses didn't help.
God, that's it. That.
I was hoping that these would help, but these didn't help at all.
I don't know what they would help with. You might help getting donations outside the local Walmart. I don't know. So this next article is off topic, and I apologize, but dang, it's something I've been interested in for some time, and I saw it pop up online, and I just grabbed it to save it. 50 years ago, this weekend, over Christmas break, 1972, President Richard M. Nixon realized that the Pentagon had been spying on him. And it's a story I had never heard. I heard maybe 10 years ago, thought it was some sort of conspiracy theory junk. Then I saw it again. It's the Atlantic, James Rosen. I'm like, holy shit, this is a real story, so I saved it. Stranger than fiction. Yes. Yeah, Nixon was paranoid as hell, and it turns out paranoid people sometimes have reason to be paranoid. The Pentagon had been breaking into the briefcases and secret papers and reading them ahead of time, ostensibly in order to be prepared for briefings better, but you just can't break into president's papers and like steal them. That's probably some laws against. Yeah, so an odd like twist.
That would never happen. Today, of course, no one would ever do that.
Well, except for Joint Chiefs Milley.
I found some interesting, besides the fascination of how complex Nixon was the fact that Nixon actually did not, he didn't break this out in public. He didn't make a big deal out of it. He turned the whole thing around so he had a better grasp on DOD. But I mean, this was some messed up stuff, and this happened. And the weird thing here is Nixon going, and he's got the quotes. They did this. It's criminal. It's wrong. But the country is more important than they are. And so we're going to cover this up and fix it. And we're not going to destroy the armed forces because of these jackasses.
Wow.
I don't think that would happen today. That was the difference. It's not that politics have been crooked for a long time. They've been dishonest. There's been a lot of shady stuff. But this was a time when people were going to fall on their own sword instead of writing a book and, claiming that they're all, that's what they would do today.
Yeah, so I guess this is how long we'll have to wait for some stuff to come out about current things.
No doubt, 50 years. I saw that with JFK when I was a kid. JFK was all holy and good, and there was nothing wrong with him. As we've gone on through the years, we've been able to talk about how he was a drug addict, he was a womanizer, he was a threat to the national security. First, we were able to talk about that in terms of conspiracy theories, but then people were actually honest about it, and they just didn't play it up hard because other people would be upset. And then eventually, it's just we can just talk about it. And same thing about Nixon and Little Bush and the rest of them.
Well, the Kennedy family had some roots, though, in organized crime with their booze running, I think, didn't they?
Yes.
Their legacy has some deep corruption.
One of the reasons I love Nixon so much is he was born in a Quaker family, extremely strict religious upbringing. I think he probably had a severe, view on moralities and such, and yet he was pretty much paranoid. He was a liar, a manipulator. He was a thing we would consider bad about all the politicians. At the same time, he was really strict on himself about certain things. It was an interesting fascination. Whereas, I mean, contrast it with maybe a JFK or Bill Clinton. you get the feeling they're like a lot more less disciplined and just sort of free and open, and there's not that kind of conflict. They're just, Nixon was messed up and he kind of knew it and struggled with it. Some of these other guys just seem like they were like, okay, just let's have fun. Maybe I'm wrong, and God knows I'm not trying to denigrate those people. Clinton was probably the best politician we had in the last 50 years, and JFK, for all his flaws, actually brought people together, you know, under a lot of, for a lot of different causes. I'm not a Camelot guy, but you know, he wasn't all that bad either. He got the Silver Navy Cross or whatever. So yeah, history's complex.
No doubt.
That's why it's important to make sure you're the one who writes it.
Yeah, the thing that bothers me most about politics is when they pull a historical thing out and they just shade it one way, and I just want to bang on somebody's head because I can't find something happened last week that only happened one way, good or bad. It's all complex.
Speaking of complex, the next article.
Yes. Imaginary numbers could be needed to describe reality, new studies find. If standard quantum theory holds up, imaginary numbers are critical. And so this is kind of a no-duh thing for people who have sort of learned quantum mechanics, but there's sort of more foundational thing they're saying, that really you can't have a single number line. You have to have a two-axis system. And this coder said it really the best. He's like, you know, instead of imaginary numbers, just think in tuples. So reality is in tuples, not in a number.
A little bit like the semantic web. There is a thing.
Hmm. A thing.
References to the thing, but there's only, you know, the thing. Yeah. And I think, I don't know if that's kind of where you're headed with tuples, but.
Your audio cut off during your description, so I don't know either whether I'm headed there. Could you say that again, please?
Non-deterministic.
Okay.
The things like, it's been a while since I messed around with semantic web, but the resource definition framework, I think it was called, RDF.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
The you know, like, there's only one John Kern or Daniel Markham, right? That's me. You know, or there's only one NFT, there's only one thing. There can be multiple ways to reference it or think about it, but there's still only one, even though there could be, you know, apparently more ways to see. I don't know if that's kind of where you were headed with the tuples and an NFT. Or
yeah, I think that there's probably, I think of RDF maybe in terms of paths. I think you're trying to get, there's a unique path to a unique thing that may be a path of record or whatever, that they're talking about tuples. We can describe things much better in pairs of numbers. And as a matter of fact, what this is saying is we have to use pairs of numbers, even if the second one's always zero, because the math doesn't work with what we know about reality, which is pretty cool, I guess. This guy is complaining on Twitter that he makes up really cool pictures and posts them online. People are stealing his really cool pictures and turning them into NFTs, non-fungible transactions, and selling them as crypto art. So he's not going to make any more cool pictures anymore because people are stealing his pixels and making millions of dollars.
My comment was looking at this photo and this article, and you were talking about the prior article. Okay, there you go.
Okay. Like, yeah, the guy draws the DeviantRF. Yeah, okay, yeah. Hey, maybe we should do that. Maybe we should all look at a different article and like,
and have the same
conversation. The same conversation. You guys ever played presentation karaoke?
There you go.
Oh, fun stuff. James, you ever played presentation karaoke?
I haven't, but I've heard of it. I've watched it played.
It is.
I've seen the Impractical Jokers or whatever. When those guys give somebody else's presentation that they've never seen, is that similar?
It is similar. You can do somebody else's, or I actually wrote a website that basically put up random pictures with text underneath, and you have to string it together and whatever, and then you get a topic at first, like, you know, quantum physics or whatever, and here comes some pictures and text, and you've got to sell whatever it is.
Oh, I'd be good at that.
That's fun stuff. Fun stuff. The big DevOps misunderstanding. We have an essay and a bunch of comments. Essay is basically, hey guys, DevOps is just when y'all push things to production. That's what it's supposed to be. You shouldn't have a DevOps team. And of course, that's sort of, you know, everybody knows that already. But the conversation I actually found more interesting, which is why it's the first link. This one guy actually built a DevOps team, and he said, you know, we built a team. We knew we shouldn't be there, but we decided we weren't going to be the people responsible for putting things in production. We were just going to be responsible for tooling to put things in production. And that seems to kind of work. I mean, he said the push production goes down. It's not us. It's the dev team that's doing it. We just don't want to have people all writing different tools. So we're like there to be toolmongers for people.
Do you remember when you used to have a team to work ClearCase?
Thankfully, I was never anywhere near having to use that piece of crap. I've seen it, and I saw people having to use it.
Oh, yeah. All these config things. There was like three specialists at a company I was consulting at in the late 90s, Xerox. They had three specialists whose job was to make sure that people didn't know what code they were working on through the magic of ClearCase.
You know what UCM is, right? You guys familiar with the fund that UCM was?
No, what's UCM?
Unified Change Management. The idea that you couldn't write one line of code anywhere without tracking back to like a mother meeting a father in 1942 or whatever. Yeah, there had to be some clear path all the way through.
A requirement. Right? Traceability?
Yes, traceability. Yeah. But ClearCase supported that because for those folks who have been fortunate, ClearCase is what happens if you take a bunch of relational database guys and tell them to design a version control system. They end up with virtual drives, virtual object bases. It does any freaking thing you want, and good luck. You end up with 60 drive letters and like, I'm looking at this through the standpoint of a Puerto Rican person who lived in 20. I don't know. I'm looking at this other query, and can you imagine the same code base with like 12 different queries against it, each one being a different drive letter? It's a disaster. It was awful. Oh, God. Yeah. That whole suite really
I was just going to say, I remember, might have been somebody at IBM. Anyways, around about TogetherSoft and using it as a tool. And wondering if we could track traceability of every change to requirements and that kind of crap. And as you know, I'm pretty sure I said not interested in that space.
We know.
Keep your money.
When I did the backlogs book, I was like, you know, trying to figure out where the past stuff has been written on how to do good backlogs, and everybody keeps blaming the requirements. And I finally realized that the reason you blame the requirements is because whatever the system does, you didn't want it to do that. So it just kind of flows as far back as it can to, oh, it's the requirement guys. They're the guys that started everything, instead of talking about the conversation and all that. So it's a thankless job at the front end of the truck if you've got this sort of stage-gated system.
Yeah.
So that was a good discussion. We got next year.
Did you see that article about the bug? In Android for 911?
No. So just the huge
Microsoft Teams on your phone, and you're not signed in, and you make a 911 call, there's a chance it won't.
Oh God.
I'm simplifying it like crazy, but supposedly, if Microsoft Teams registers itself as a phone calling thing that can in the Android environment, so it registers itself, and so now it's in the chain of things that could be called when you start punching in 911. And it supposedly shouldn't have been there, or I'm forgetting the details now, but it was a pretty interesting article. You might see it on LinkedIn.
Okay.
I had shared somebody else's article about it. And kind of scanned most of it. It's like, oh, geez, okay. Unintended consequences during initialization. Who'd ever think that would happen? But
reminds me of system hooks. You guys play around with system hooks very much, where the OS will give you a hook into every time they do whatever, and you take the hook and you'll do something, but it's your responsibility to pass it on to the next bunch because you don't, you know, you don't own that call. You're there. You only have it for a second.
Yeah. Nope, never did that.
When he said the giant big bug they found, I thought you were talking about there's a crocodile-sized bug they found in amber last week. Huge bug.
Oh, no, that would be cool. Crocodile-sized bug. That's a pretty big bug.
Yeah, it's the biggest insect they've ever found. From millions of years ago, it was that's a big bug. I don't want to show a picture of that. I would be scared of looking at the picture. It was huge.
I was going through the Living Things book with one of my grandkids yesterday, and we're on the page with the bugs, and there was a picture of one bug that is still you can find today, which is like 20 inches long.
Dude, whoa!
And it's like, what would happen if your mom found that? And he said she'd get rid of it.
She would probably go run screaming. Nah, I don't know. My wife is she does not. Here we go. I think this is the recent one. Yeah, my wife does not like the spiders. Yeah, well, there's all kinds of caught in the act. Who hell does? Ant. Giant bug and amber. We get all kinds of stuff. But fossil insect. How about that one?
For sale.
For sale, I know.
I know there's some pretty large. I don't know if
you car-sized millipedes. There we go.
Okay, car's getting a little big.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to meet a car-sized millipede.
Estimated
been. What does that mean? It's like long as a car or as wide as a car?
9 feet long. Yeah.
Uh-huh, okay.
I don't want to be no nine-foot bug. That's like something out of like the 50s sci-fi.
Million-year-old. Let's not clone any of those. Okay. Just saying.
Mammoths, okay. The car-side bugs, I don't.
No. The mammoth, that'd be cool. You can put it down in the Naples Zoo.
Yeah.
In Morocco, we were at a place that had fossils that were, nautilus shells like this big and squid, like conical things that were basically like squid. And then my favorite, just because when I was a kid, our dad took us fossil hunting, and I remember getting a trilobite, which was, way better than the brachiopods and the little other kind of boring things. Well, here, they had trilobites that were like this big, as big as your hand. And you could even see the eyes, all the little, things on their eyes. They had one that was a little smaller, but it had all of the legs in.
You still have yours?
I don't think he does. Either that or he's... Well, Jave, this is new. Now you and I are here, and John's the one that's dropped. Yeah. And now back to sports.
Hey, when John gets back, let's both freeze.
Okay, so look, that's a true thing that really happened.
And you're gonna have to stop walking if you pull that off, John.
I'll try another Wi-Fi.
See. It's like red light, green light. Okay, go and stop. All right, go. So let's do the last stories here. Then I'll go over and show you guys Discord here. The last story is harassment of Navy destroyers. My mysterious drone craft swarms off of Carolina, went on for weeks. This is a continuation of the story from a while back. Just sort of bit by bit keeps coming out that, this wasn't a Navy destroyer that saw a UFO. This is weeks and weeks of a naval task force experiencing some kind of shit. They don't know what it is. And that's a whole nother class of things.
Is that a technical term?
Yes, so we don't.
Ship?
Don't know stuff. Yeah, beats me.
Yeah.
You think, if you have all that spy radar and all that crap, you think really billions of dollars into these programs, beats me is kind of tough to actually say.
They just need to fly with a big net. like trolling. Just go,
yeah,
you know, see what you catch.
Well,
I think when they get their lasers working, then they can shoot them out of the sky. That'll be cool.
What could go wrong? Yeah, I think that Slim Whitman and yodeling could be the thing to combat these things. I saw that on a movie. Cool stuff. I enjoy watching this story develop. I have no dog in this fight other than just getting tickled at watching this huge bureaucracy that is the United States Defense Department have to say, hey, we don't know. And that's a very painful thing to say. They don't like doing it. It's going to be fun to watch what they do when they as they work through that. Eric Weinstein.
You mean they think they know everything there?
Well, that's the selling point. You spend all this money on this stuff to say, hey, I'm in control of this airspace. I know exactly what's happening around me. And now,
except for this
thing that happened for weeks that nobody could figure out, and that's painful. I mean, from a lot of different standpoints. Now, Eric Weinstein has joined the Galileo Project, which is an independent scientific group, trying to figure out what the hell's going on with all this sort of phenomena that we can't deal with. Okay, how do I do that? I'll show you guys Discord here. Mm-hmm. So over here. Oh, there you are. They just need to paste you in.
Since you're doing that, I'm going to turn off the microphone and headset on Discourse.
Maybe a good idea. So here's this. What are we doing? He's turning off his Discourse headphone and microphone to, I guess, prevent feedback, I guess.
Just in case. Sounds like a smart thing to do.
Okay, so no, you guys can't be. What do I want? Were you in front? Right there you are. There we go. Okay, so you guys in front, and we have Discord behind us. So, player on Discord this week, let's all give you guys a quick tour. Discord, as I was telling James yesterday, is a program built by a video game company. And basically what happened was people playing shooter games wanted to chat with the headsets while they were playing shooter games. And they built an app to do that, and the app sort of grew its own legs and spun off into its own sort of real-time chatting, sharing program. That is Discord. It is free. So it's not a Facebook thing. It's much more like Twitter, like a telephone. It's not like a bulletin board. However, it's got so much stuff in there. Oh, cool. It's got so much stuff in there that you can use it any way you want. I think the main thing is that it does audio, video stuff really kind of integrated into everything else. As you just posted a GIF. I spent some time there.
If Kirk and Bones agree, then yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. I
don't want to use it.
But, yeah. Here's clips from previous shows. I got a channel for doing. Yeah, kid asked his parents for a Switch for Christmas. Shows him sitting on the couch with a Cisco. That is just me. The one thing I was astounded by is that once you start doing anything with Discord, there's about 40,000 options. There's a whole rules permission system. There's just, it encourages, I guess, gamifying, you're creating little spaces and turning them into games where you level up and you can spend a lot. Speaking of yak shaving, this is like a yak parade that needs to be shaved. You'll just never end. A lot of stuff.
Yeah, and it's got voice channels. What do we do with those?
Well, your life. That's where we would do the Nerd Roundup. If you went there, you could start a video chat, and it would be, I don't know how that would work with this feedback. But yeah, if you go there, you can actually turn on your cam. And how do I do this? If I go there, doy. So like now we're both in the room. How do I go there? Yeah, and we're voice chatting, and you can actually, there's your camera, yes. And so there's, and I could turn my camera on and it would get really, really confused here. But that's how we would do that. How can I turn my camera? Maybe I can do that. Who knows? All right. Okay. So, yeah. There we are.
There we go.
James, you want to join? Turn your, like, yeah, you should turn your camera on, James.
This is getting a little Pink Floyd like.
It is very much like.
Whoa, dude. I don't know why it doesn't know about my camera right now. I hit this button.
You need to allow it, give it permissions.
Actually, I
want. Yeah, but it doesn't ask you right away. There we go.
All right,
it asked me.
Yeah, I want to answer. Yeah. The heck is
turn off, turn off this.
Yes. What in the world? So we've lost. How does that work? No, you're doing it the wrong way, James. Nope. Sorry, son. You're called to me. What you need to do is go to that Nerd Roundup room.
Okay.
Yeah. How do I get rid of you? Yeah. There you go. Go to the. Yeah. Click on the Nerd Roundup channel, and then there should be a video button for you.
Nerd Roundup channel.
Yeah, it's on voice channels at the very bottom. And there's me.
Voice channels.
Look at Daniel's screen. It's kind of
yeah. It's right here. It's
mine doesn't have that.
You don't have Nerd Roundup as an option for your. You should.
Yeah. Are you on the app or the browser?
I'm in the browser.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Biker. Get with the program.
It's getting hot over here.
Yeah, so it normally we need to try this at some point. Maybe either now or after we finish. Is this stuff? I need to know if we can do multiple cams like this. If we can, I'm okay from a tech standpoint. If not, we can stick with Google Meet. But this is...
You can call it a test meeting if you want.
Yeah. James, can you do you have an app handy there? Can you...
I didn't install it yet. Okay. I don't think we're using
it. Okay. It's Christmas, Lager. I guess. Yeah. Yeah. It's...
I did install it. Let's go.
I'm known as an early adopter.
Yes. It only took me a year and a half to actually set this thing. I got it a year ago, so I was cool then. I kept bringing it up, going, what in the hell is all this? So my daughter's like, okay, Dad, it's very simple. Like, thanks. All right, James, you running the app now? Or?
I'm trying.
Okay.
Go back to it.
Yeah, so this is pretty wild. We're Google meeting a Discord video chat.
No, I told it to.
Yeah. All right. Does it show you here? Yeah, I'll show you.
This is a real exciting part of the Nerd Roundup.
Yeah, this is great.
Well, this is, we wanted more people in the Roundup, so now we're going to like end up with 50 copies of us. As I was just telling myself.
Make it next week.
Which I'm happy with.
Yeah, well, once you get the best, there's really no point in keeping it.
And more of us. What's wrong with that?
I don't think it's right. It's impossible. You can't improve on a perfect thing. You really just can't improve on it. I will send out a series of links, guys, this week. You can either look at them or not. It's just going to be a big list like we look at every week. Pick out like what you liked from the previous year if you want to. If you don't, doesn't matter to me. But I thought it would be kind of cool just to do a roundup. Roundup squared.
Cool idea.
Yeah, end of the year. James, how's it going? Are you any luck?
I'm just about in there.
Okay.
You want me to integrate it with everything?
We have our man James Grinning live on the scene with Discord. James.
Fighting ducks.
Yeah, I set up a group called Fighting Ducks to post political stuff because I realized that most people would not want to hear our political stuff. So you're in conference room, you need to be in Nerd Roundup room.
Oh, he's in conference room.
It looks like he's in conference room. There he is.
I'm moving. I'm moving.
Yeah.
Moving.
Oh, yeah.
Mute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
And then you turn your camera on.
I just got to figure out how to get the camera going.
Yes, that is the thing. I think this is going to work. It's going to get pretty dang busy in here. Can you turn the camera?
Yeah, I'm looking for how to do that. So, here's the video.
It's underneath.
Got it.
That works. I'll be danged. That works. Now, can I split your... Yeah, I think... What does that do? Oh, wow. It just sort of focuses just... Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. So, like, now you're...
Yeah, it's like you can click on the thing that you want to highlight.
And, there's a context menu. What I wanted to be able to do is put each person in their own little window, and that way I could just put you a separate windows in the broadcast program we got here. So the answer is yes, and I just need to play with the options. I move to.
What's that? There's click the pop app.
Where's that at? Oh, here? Ooh.
And then it makes a separate window just okay. For
the
video.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but.
Yeah, I was wondering how that worked, and then you can, what's the pin do? Stay on top. My daughter was saying you can have up to 20 people here, so that's going to be fine. Yeah, I really, what's that? Focus. Oh, no, show non-video participants. Yeah, this is most awesome, my friends. And how do I get it back in? You're like, how does it go back?
Unpop it?
Yeah, how does that, here? Nope, that just makes everybody huge. Maybe there's a pin? Nope.
Maybe escape? I'm going to try escape.
Yeah, how do I drag and drop maybe? Nope. How do I make them go back? You know? I can figure this out later. Maybe just close it.
I wonder if I'm just gonna close it.
Yeah, go back to Yeah, you could just close it and go back to the room. It's good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so let me do my closing thing, guys. I'll be right back. You stay here, all of you. Hang on a second. There you have it. It's been yet another hour that you've completely wasted your time over the Christmas holidays when you could have been watching good Christmas movies like The Grinch, Elf, The Night Before Christmas, or Santa Claus versus the Martians. But no, you're here with us, and we're happy you dropped by. I'm Daniel Markham. I'm at danielbmarkham.com. I will see you on the internet.